This podcast is a publication of the Engineering Management Institute, where we are committed to building professional development systems, including project management and people leadership programs that support the growth of engineers and their firms. Download our AE Industry Trends Report for insights on the Great Resignation, remote work productivity, and people-centric cultures. To get your copy, visit engineeringmanagementinstitute.org.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Women in Engineering, Success Stories from STEM Professionals. In this episode, I will be talking with Marceni Attia, DPAC Reliability Engineer from Duke Energy Corporation, about her journey in the field of engineering and how her experience as a woman in engineering has contributed to the energy and utility sector. We will also dive into topics related to protective coordination, independent power producer, which is IPP projects, as well as professional development. I am your host, Tiffany Tichy, a senior mechanical engineer, a STEM advocate, a TEDx international speaker, and an internationally recognized author of children's books, which include What Can I Be? STEM Careers from A to Z, and STEM Crew Kids Adventure Series. I also host the Read It Right radio show on WDRB Media. I'm the owner of ThriveEdge Publishing and owner publishing consultant of Inspired Authors Publishing. And with that, let's jump right into today's episode. Now it's time to jump right into the main segment of our show. Today, I have with me Marceni Attia. Marceni, welcome to the Women in Engineering podcast.
Well, how are you all? I'm so excited to be here. Thank you all for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here today.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's jump right into it. Could you start by sharing your journey into the field of engineering and how you became a DPAC reliability engineer at Duke Energy Corporation?
Okay, so I guess, you know, my journey, I always tell people it wasn't the most normal or orthodox journey. You know, growing up, actually, I really wasn't into, you know, a lot of other engineering. My friends, they were like, oh, in high school, I always wanted to be an engineer, or I always liked how things worked. I liked building things. Me, I was like, ah, the lights come on, I don't care how. You know, that wasn't my thing. I've always been wanting to do, interested in finance and business. So I know when I started school at UNCC in 2000, I started as a business major, actually. And then 2 weeks in, I had a cranial cyst that I was dealing with. I had my first surgery in 95. I got sick in 99. And then 2000, when I started school, I got sick and I had to withdraw from school. And I thought that was like the worst thing in my life. Oh, my first year in college. But that whole time that I was out, I just started reevaluating some things, what I want to do, what I want to be, talking to some friends. I don't know, one of my best friends, David, he was in the engineering department. We were talking and he was like, yeah, I really like it. I was like, you know, he was like, I feel like you like math, you're a technical person. I'm surprised you didn't go into like a, you know, a technical field. And that's when I started, researching engineering and what have you. And that's how when I came back to school, I joined my intro to engineering class with my business classes. I loved it. I loved the things that we were talking about, we were learning. I felt challenged. And that's how I eventually switched my major. Graduated, actually immigrant, and so I've been here, you know, for a long time, and I had some, you know, paperwork situations that I had to fix, so I couldn't even work in my field for 8 years after I finished my master's in engineering, and so I was doing everything and anything, and then one day when I got all the immigration paperwork settled and everything, because I was brought here as a child, so I was brought here legally as a child, so just things that I didn't know that would come up. I actually applied for Duke Energy, but I applied in the call center. But I had my master's in engineering and I was working in a call center. But, you know, I had people championing my cause and knew what I wanted to do. And I always stayed in the engineering arena. So even while I wasn't working, I was working in a restaurant all those years or doing entrepreneurial ventures. I was still in the engineering arena. I even became the president of one of our local National Society of Black Engineers Charlotte Professionals chapter. So I always kept in the arena. And push come to shove, I worked with my time. I always say my time in the call center. And I eventually was able to start working my field in 2015. And I was in DPAC. It's DPAC Distribution Protection, automation and coordination, and DG, which is distributed generation, like renewable energy. It was one department at the time. In 2015, I joined the DG side, kind of helping the project coordinator. They created like an engineering role. And then I transitioned in 2016, and I've been in that role ever since. So, yeah, that's my journey.
So many obstacles. And I just want to say kudos to you. Despite all obstacles, you was able to make it and become an engineer and in your field. And so kudos to you for all that you've done and accomplished. So let's go further in depth of, you know, your role. What does your role as DPEC, Reliability Engineer, entail? And what are some key responsibilities and tasks you've handled in your role from day-to-day work?
Okay, so I kind of say, for fun, I always say we are the Lord of the reclosers. So protection coordination is basically, we protect the grid. We want to make sure that the grid is protected from any overcurrent or any electrical issues that may be caused from accidents or lightning or just overloading on the circuit. And so we set devices, we set the relays, the fuses, the reclosers, and we coordinate them to work. So to sense those issues and heal and restore those issues. So we set the recloser to reclose or fuses to open when there's an over. And I always tell, it's funny, I tell students, I was like, well, you know, when I try to explain it to like younger kids, I'm like, you know, if you're sitting in your home and the lights go out and your mom's like, oh my gosh, took energy, the lights went out for a moment or for a minute. Just think, okay, Mercedes set the device to possibly go off because she doesn't want a fire or something crazy to happen. So we set the reclosers, their overprotective device that open and close during those overcurrent conditions. So a lot of my work, we're doing setting those on the different parts of the circuit. But we also do protection coordination for when, like, say, the transmission department, they want to put in new circuits. They'll tell us, okay, we've done our analysis. Planning department says, okay, we want to put this circuit here and these devices need to go here. Now we need you, DPEC, to check these devices, make sure they coordinate. When our grid department, they're like, hey, we want to switch some load here. Can this circuit take this load? We do all that protection coordination for those things. We have this big system called self-healing team. It's this modernized system that we set. And we proposed a relay setting for the circuit breakers. So basically, at Duke Energy, safety is our culture. So we're making sure that our circuits are safe, that our system, our distribution system is safe for our customers by checking those settings and coordinating those devices according to the circuit topology.
Love it. I love it. Way to break it down. Way to break it down. Because I was going to ask, you know, your main, you know, one of your responsibilities is providing, you know, technical support on protective coordinations that you've been able to share. And I think you might have hit on it as far as, you know, as setting for, you know, circuits and controls. You might have hit on it, but just a little bit. Can you describe, you know, the importance, you might have touched base on it, of that protective coordination when it comes to that in this context of energy?
Like I said, safety is our culture. We don't want any of our people, our customers, we don't want any of our workers getting hurt. We don't want lightning to strike our circuit line, or even a chipmunk comes and bite into the line and it causes a problem. We want to make sure that everybody's safe, not just our workers. We want to make sure the customer's safe. So it's very important. That's the culture of our company, safety. We're dealing with electricity. You know, that's one thing people used to say in school, you know, electricity, you can't see it, but it's very, you can't see the actual electricity. You can see the effects of it, the load, the lights, but it's an invisible thing that we're working with. And so we have to make sure it can be very deadly. It can be, you know, and harmful. So making sure that those devices work and they coordinate is very important. We don't want there to be an overloaded current and the device does not sense it open. And what it will do, it'll sense that we set the device to sense that overloaded area. Open at this area. It might, you know, cause a short outage for customers, but that's better than a fire or the circuit, something exploding. We want people to be safe. So when it's a matter of life and death, that's very important. What's more important than that, you know? So yeah, our job is very important.
Yes, it is. And I can attest to it, though, especially in the energy, safety is always that first topic. I guess in your meetings, you probably start out with safety topics and all that.
We have our safety moment.
Safety. Yes. So I can attest to that, where what you're doing is very important. So let's switch over, switch gears. Let's talk about, you know, as a woman and engineer, Have you faced any unique challenges or experiences that you'd like to share, and how have you overcome them in your career?
Okay, I would say something that I run into often in our field, predominantly, let's just say white males, older baby boomers, right? And you have to think about their roles traditionally at home, you're right? That generation, they're usually the breadwinner. They're probably making most of the decisions, impactful decisions in the home. And they're used to their wives or their females in their lives, you know, taking I won't say a lesser role, because taking care of a household is a great thing, but making those decisions and maybe they're not working. I feel like I work with a lot of males, maybe that their wives are stay at home or don't work, you know, in any corporate fields. And sometimes I feel like I'm actually put into that role where I feel like they're talking to me as their wife, they stay at home, or they want to make the decisions, or when I make decisions, they're not as confident in those decisions because they just automatically assume I maybe not know as much. And it's kind of hard because I have this triple, it's like I'm a female engineer, I'm a Black female engineer, and then I was a female, especially starting a female engineer, didn't have experience for so many years in the field. So I was dealing with that a lot and trying to make sure my voice is heard. And I'm like, you know, I understand that, you know, maybe you're not used to a woman being as assertive, maybe. I don't want to, just make assumptions about everybody, but I had to work with that. Let's be honest, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. You know, I want to make generalizations, but we think different in certain ways. You know, we're intuitive. Maybe we're more feelers. You just never know. And sometimes we have to draw that line between having a voice and confidence and being told that I'm mouthy or over-talking or too assertive or too emotional about things. And so having to deal with those things. And so having to make sure that I don't mute my voice because I don't want to get that stigma on me. And sometimes that's been hard to deal with, having to find that balance and how to do that. Where they're not like, oh, you know, you're just talking to him, or women are so catty, or they, you know, whatever. But just, you know, not feeling I have to be a man, but just to be like, be an engineer, just to be seen as an engineer and not a female engineer. And I think the last thing I have to deal with, not just culturally and as a woman, there's things that we deal with that men don't deal with, you know? And so having to let them understand, you know, there's some days that I'm just like, I have to control my emotions because of things that women deal with. And they may not understand that, no, I'm not just an emotional person. I'm just sick today. And I just really want to be here to do my work and trying to find that balance to be me and be a woman, but not let that, the things that I may have to deal with as a woman, you know, affect my work. You know, so those are some of the things that I've kind of run into that have caused some challenges and caused me sometimes to have to say, hey, you, excuse me, sir. And, you know, had to say some words in a certain way, in a nice professional way to let people know. And then overcoming not feeling as confident, not feeling as knowledgeable just because I'm a woman in a male dominated field. So those are the things that I've kind of run into. I'm sure you may be able to relate to things.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I've been in this realm as far as we've always had our episodes or situations where we've had to deal with it in that scenario. So thank you for sharing that. And so one of the things I want you to do is give some advice. So what advice do you have for aspiring female engineers who are looking to enter the energy and utility sector or pursue a career similar to yours?
Okay, I will say one thing that's helped me: seek mentors. Have your champions, have your sponsors. There are people that sponsor you in different arenas, and there's people that's championing you in those arenas. Nothing wrong with having other female mentors that have been through that can say, hey, I remember I was having an incident with one of my coworkers, and there was a lady in the transmission department, but she was on our floor, and I would just speak to her every now and then. And then one day I was just having a very bad day with the coworkers dealing with, you know, office politics and, you know, roles and things like that. And I just went to speak to her one day. She was like, you know what? I went through the same thing. And she gave me some of the best advice, to the point where I was sending a response to my email. I would send her the email, be like, how's this sound? And she would say, okay, take that out. Maybe you don't want to say it this way. So definitely find some mentors, find some sponsor, people that shop. Nothing wrong with having someone that's been there and done that, because that's a unique position that we're in. We're in a male-dominated field. So talk to other women that's been there, done that, so they can find someone that can give you that advice. Also, don't be afraid to communicate. If you have to over-communicate, over-communicate. That's fine. I used to mute my voice a lot. Now, a lot of times that I would sit there, I'll sit in a meeting, and a couple of things I would notice. The first thing is somebody would ask a question, and I know the answer, but I would doubt myself so much, and I wouldn't say it, and my coworkers would jump up and say it. I'm like, well, I knew that. Or what I noticed that always happens to me is that I would say something, and it was good or smart. My coworker would come right behind me to have the last word and basically say what I just said. And before, I would just be quiet. But then after a while, yes, thank you for just repeating what I just said. And as I said before, as I said 2 minutes ago, thank you for piggybacking what I said. So don't be afraid to be assertive, be confident, and communicate those things. Have a voice. And don't be afraid to be a woman. You don't have to. You're not a man. You're a woman. You don't afraid to be feminine. It doesn't make you look weaker or make you feel like you're, you know, not as smart, or be who you are, but just know your work, know your job. So they don't have anything to talk about. You know, people sometimes are just looking for things to pinpoint that's bad about you. But when you are good at what you do, there's really not much they can say. But I think the biggest thing I would say is find some mentors and find some sponsors, find some people that's championing other women that's been there that can tell you, hey, I've been there. Let me help you through this. Let me tell you what works and what doesn't work.
Can you explain the difference between a mentor and a sponsor, since you brought those up?
I think, so let me explain a situation that I had. So when I was in the call center, and I have to work at Duke Energy a year in the call center to before you move to a different position there. So I applied for, when it was time for me to move, I applied for an engineering 2 position. I knew I wasn't had the experience, but I was like, this work, I can do it. So I had a great interview, and it happened. The interview was a panel interview. It had the director for all jurisdictions that was there, and the two, you know, the person right under her and the person right under them. And I thought the interview was wonderful, but I didn't get the job because she was like, well, we had somebody that has the experience. But she kind of been a sponsor. She was like a sponsor for me. So she, every time she would see me, she would tell people, hey, you know, we have this engineer that's working here. You know, she's working in a call center, but I think she was just always sponsoring me, sponsoring my helping and aiding. You know, when you sponsor a child in an organization, you're providing some aid to help them to do better. So she was sponsoring me everywhere she would go. She would mention my name. She would say, oh, you know, do you know so-and-so? And she was sponsoring me. So when I joined the DPAC and DG, there was another Black female that was there. She was the one I was working under right away. She became a mentor for me. So I remember she would always give me advice, tell me what to do, what not to do. So right before she left, they were telling me, hey, Marceni, there's this great position that we want you to take, right? They were creating this new position. It's going to be great. And you can move into this new position, whatever. She came to me. She called me. She said, do not do it. It's career suicide. You need to go in the room with those other male engineers and learn what they are learning. This job is going to, don't do it. So she would tell me those things all the time. Hey, you know, if I'm having a one-on-one, oh, you need to ask the boss this. Because now she's a mentor. Now she's teaching me the ropes. Now she's showing me. And had I not listened to her, that job, they even canceled that position, right? And I listened to her. So now she's mentoring. She's teaching me the ropes. So a sponsor, I think they push you. They are championing your success. They're talking for you. But I think a mentor is more that one-on-one personal, showing you the ropes, giving you that knowledge, giving you that information you need to be a better person.
Oh, you did it. You broke it down. I love it. And it's the way you gave the examples. Someone who vouches for you in the room when no one else, you're not in there.
Absolutely.
That's the sponsor. And then you got needs that give you advice, and that's the mentor. I just wanted, you gave it. You gave some great nuggets. So thank you for the example. That was awesome. That was amazing. So let's transition. Let's talk about, you know, in the field of engineering, you know, ongoing learning and professional development are crucial. And so with that, how do you stay up to date with latest industry trends and technologies to make sure that you know you excel in your role that you're doing?
Okay. So, you know, it's always great to kind of like, hey, do your own research, read and take classes. But you know what? Network, join groups, join conferences. I always want to know what people are talking about. Make sure you have friends that are in those higher levels than you. I remember so many times I'll be talking to Tiffany or some other friends that's in our, you know, engineering circle. And she'll mention something. They'll mention something. I may not know what it is. I might not ask, but I'll go home and research it and I'll learn about it. I have friends that they're like, hey, Marcini, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, I have a friend who's in design engineering. I was like, well, what am I going to do this? She was like, do you want me to teach you? So I feel like networking and see what people are talking about. Because you can do your own research a lot, but you don't know what's current until you hear people talking about those things. Join organizations. Go to conferences. Go to these meetings because that's where you hear what's going on, what's here, what's now. I mean, it's nothing wrong with reading and looking in and looking online and seeing what's the new trends. But even at work, when there are conferences, when they're having like, when I was working in the call center, I would take my lunch and take my vacation hours to go to those conferences to see what they're talking about, what's new, what's the next new thing, what job do I need to be applying for, what skills do I need to be honing in to be able to get this next position. So yeah, network, join organization, join group, and stay within a circle of people that are also, that know more than you. So you can always, you're always learning because those type of people are always learning. People in a higher position, they're always trying to go higher. So you're always with people that are higher than you, you always have somewhere to go because those people are always going to have knowledge that you don't have already. So make sure you keep that circle tight that you're with all the time.
That's awesome. That's amazing. Yeah, definitely the networking, the conferences, all of that is important. So I'm glad that you shared that that was the way to go as far as continuing to grow and learn. Mm-hmm. I think that's key. So we're going to, you know, finalize this. We're going to finalize this part. So what final piece of advice do you have for aspiring female engineers who are striving to excel in a male-dominated field and overcome any potential, you know, challenges they may face along the way? What advice do you have for them? One final piece of advice.
First, I want to say you are capable. You are capable. You are smart. You are knowledgeable. You are just as good as any male counterpart. Use your voice. Don't silence your voice. Continue to learn because where people look at your character or who you are or judge you, they cannot judge your knowledge. Make sure you know your stuff. If you don't know it, figure out how to learn it. So somebody can just judge you as a woman, but they can, when your work speaks for you, there's nothing that they can say. So I would just say, be confident. Make sure you know your work. Even when I started engineering, I didn't know a lot because I hadn't done so much, but I made it my job to keep learning, to keep trying to figure out how do I become skilled in what I'm doing. So I would say, and then go back to that piece. Find you a circle of people that's always pushing you. One thing I would say about my friends, I was working in the restaurant they're the ones who pushed me to become the president of the engineering department. So when you have a circle of people that support you, never make you feel less than, when you walk in, you can walk into any situation, any scenario, because that confidence comes from within, because you have people that's instilling that within you. So keep that circle of friends. That support is very important in anything you do. So if that's my biggest thing, make sure the people that you're around are championing for your success, are mentoring you, are sponsoring you, are supporting you, are encouraging you, because you're not going to get it from there. So make sure you're getting it from somewhere. And that's a good place to get it.
Awesome. Awesome. Marcini, you have been amazing. Thank you so much.
You.
Now, is there any way that anybody can get in touch with you? Are you on LinkedIn? Like, talk to us. How can people, you know, find more about you?
Yes, I am on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn as well. You know, I do need to update my LinkedIn with some things that I've done. So, but you can find me on LinkedIn under Marcini Atiyah. You know what? Sometimes I feel so old. Like, I feel like I'm not keeping up with everything I do, but I am on LinkedIn. You can also, if anybody wants my email, Tiffany, please share my email. If anyone has any questions, you can also, and I don't mind anybody sharing my email if they want to ask me any questions at the moment. So
Sounds good. Well, Marcini, thank you so much. You've been dropping some great gems and knowledge and wisdom. So we appreciate you. Thank you so much for being a great guest on the Women in Engineering
Thank
Podcast.
You for having me. You have a great day.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you won't miss our upcoming episodes featuring interviews with inspired women engineers, discussions about industry trends, and much more. Go to womeninengineeringpodcast.com, where you will find a summary of the key points discussed in today's episode, as well as links to any of the resources, website, or books that was mentioned during this episode. Until next time, may your engineering endeavors be as remarkable as the women whose stories we're sharing. Stay curious, keep innovating, and engineer a better future.